Offside. Ujeti v geopolitičnem kontekstu. Na parlamentarnih volitvah v Moldaviji je pričakovano slavila proevropska stranka Akcije in solidarnosti oziroma PAS, ki je osvojila dobrih 50% glasov in si s tem zagotovila 55 od 101 stolčkov v parlamentu. V primerjavi s prejšnjim mandatom je PAS izgubila 8 sedežev, a je kljub temu osvojila absolutno večino. Nekaj stolčkov je izgubila tudi stranka Domoljubni volilni blok, bolje poznana kot BEP, ki je na volitvah prejela 24-odstotno podporo. Govorili smo z antropologom Florinom Poenarujem, ki nam je predstavil, čemu je mogoče pripisati manjši upad podpore novi stari koalicijski stranki.
I don't think we can attribute that to the new parties, because I don't think they lost the votes to the new parties. The electorate is completely different. What I think happened is that basically there was less of a mobilization this time for the supporters of the Solidarity Party, the party of Maia Sandu, basically. Less people voted, for example, in the diaspora, which is usually voting for this party. So I think there was a bit of a lack of interest in these elections. If I'm not mistaken, I think the participation rate was also a little bit over 50%, which I think it's quite low, especially since for the first time in the history of Moldovan elections, they introduced this correspondence vote for people living abroad, the diaspora vote, but very few people chose this option. So I think that's what we can attribute it to. But funny enough, the party performed better than Maia Sandu did in the presidential election. So I think there's also an interesting point to think about when it comes to yesterday's election.
Sogovorec opozarja na dejstvo, da moldavska politika samo sebe vedno bolj vidi le skozi geopolitični kontekst. Ob tem pozablja na notranje politične težave, ki pestijo moldavsko družbo.
What I think is happening instead is not simply that the pro-EU agenda is losing ground. I think it actually is gaining more ground, to be honest. What I think is the reason for this loss and for this disenchantment of some of the voters is the absolutely catastrophic economic situation that is unfolding in Moldova that nobody actually speaks about. Right? It puts very weird electoral campaign that basically you have elections for the parliament and nobody talks about the economic, social situation in the country. The only angle that was through which these elections were seen was, of course, the geopolitical discussion, either pro-EU or pro-Russia, right? This was the main framing of these elections. But this cannot hide indefinitely what is happening in economic terms, right? There's, for example, inflation rate. It was somewhere around 30%. Now it's around 7%, but that would make it like the biggest in the EU, should Moldova be part of the EU. Skyrocketing prices of electricity, which also led to huge public debt, and of course the freezing of public spending and so on and so forth, right? So the situation in Moldova, economically, socially speaking, is an absolute tragedy. So I think that counts for people's lack of interest in these elections, because they know more or less things will stay the same.
Kot povedano, je tudi opozicijski Domoljubni volilni blok izgubil nekaj sedežev, vendar ostaja glavna opozicijska sila. Njegov pomen v prejšnjem mandatu predstavi sogovorec.
This party, especially his main man, main figure, Dodon, he's a very convenient opposition for Maia Sandu and her party. And I think it also played a part in the electoral success of Action and Solidarity Party this time around as well, because they're so comfortable opponents in the sense that, you know, they are all politicians. They were corrupt, or they were considered corrupt people know that when they were in power, they didn't do a great job. So that, and of course, they have this pro-Russian discourse. I'm not sure that actually, in actual terms, they are some sort of bodies of people running Russia nowadays. I think it's something of an image that they want to project, which makes it enough for them to be demonized and therefore perfect punchbags for the pro-European party. So in a sense, I think they fulfilled their role, and they will continue to fulfill the role in the next 4 years of the, of being this punchbag for pro-European forces, because unfortunately that's the case, maybe with the exception of Alternativa, the alternative bloc. The opposition had absolutely no social discourse as well, right? They were also, they also got trapped into this geopolitical logic, right? This is the interesting thing in Moldova, but not only Moldova, maybe Romania as well these days, is that basically there's no society anymore. It's just simply the geopolitical angle. The opposition party got trapped into this narrative as well. And of course, they lost because they are the perfect punchbacks for it.
Poleg dveh omenjenih strank, ki sta ujeti v večni kontekst proevropskosti in proruskosti, je parlamentarni prag tokrat uspelo prestopiti tudi trem drugim strankam – Alternativi, Naši stranki in Stranki Demokracija doma. Nove parlamentarne članice predstavi po Enaru.
As for the new parties, one of them is Unionist Party, basically a party that wants to unite with Romania. It's very connected to the Romanian hour. Maybe it rings a bell in the from the Romanian parliament. They have the same type of outlook. Whereas the alternative, it's basically a network of intellectuals and former politicians who basically want to offer, as the name basically says, to position themselves somewhere in the middle, in a neutral ground between these pro-EU options and the pro-Russian choice. So that's their political agenda.
Najpomembnejši dosežek stranke PAS v prejšnjem mandatu je reorganizacija preskrbe z energijo. Moldavija je do začetka vojne v Ukrajini namreč ves zemeljski plin, ki ga je porabila, dobila iz ruskega plinovoda. Ukinitev ukrajinskega tranzita plina v Moldavijo je povezana z od države odcepljeno, a mednarodno nepriznano regijo Transnistrijo oziroma Pridnestarsko republiko. Moldavija je bila za električno energijo odvisna od plinske elektrarne, ki se nahaja v Pridnestrski republiki. Ta je plin za potrebe tako ogrevanja kot tudi proizvodnje električne energije do začetka vojne v Ukrajini dobivala iz Rusije preko Ukrajine. Vlada Pridnestrske republike, ki je tesna zaveznica Rusije, je nato zavrnila nakup plina z zahoda preko Moldavije, zaradi česar je v regiji prišlo do pomankanja elektrike in plina za ogrevanje. Več sogovorec.
Basically, the switch in terms of producing and consuming electricity. It was a big thing, right? Because initially, before 2023, when this switch happened, basically, Moldova was highly dependent on the energy that was produced in Transnistria based on Russian gas. And now they completely switched to the European source, to European sources of both gas and electricity, which, of course, this was one of the reasons for the huge inflation happening immediately after this switch happened, right? So it's one of their main points of discussion and their points of pride that they managed to make this transition. It happened because the increase in gas prices to start with, that Gazprom was implementing after the beginning of the war in Ukraine. It was supported financially by, it was a process that took a few months. It was a grant of 400 million euros from the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development. But this whole switch, as I mentioned, it had inflationary outcomes within the economy. And indeed now Moldova is connected to the European grid and also to European sources of gas. It basically it imports the gas it needs from Romania mostly, other places as well, but from Romania mostly. And they basically ended the dependency on Gazprom and the electricity produced in Transnistria. I think Now they still import it, but I think it's just very little when they need a little bit more extra. But the bulk of it comes from this European grid. So it was something that the party and Maia Sandu could show as a success in this European integration.
Koalicijska stranka predsednice Maje Sandu igra predvsem na svojo proevropsko oziroma protirusko karto. Kljub temu sogovorec opozarja, da je v državi od začetka prihoda stranke PAS na oblast v moldavski politični sferi vedno več represije, torej ravno tistega, kar PAS stalno očita svojim proruskim opozicijskim kolegom.
Now, on a more critical note, one of the main achievements, if you want in quotation marks, of course, was that during the last four years, Moldova became a more and more authoritarian society and regime, right? It was, again, this moment when the people in power, the politicians in power, intervened with censorship and so on, you know, like censorship of TV channels. So basically, there were 12 of them closed in the past 2 years in Moldova. Journalists threatened, political opponents put into jail, all the sorts of stuff that we associated with the former key politician of Moldova, Vlad Plahotniuc, right, whom was deposed after the 2019 elections, and then the coalition between socialists and Maia Sandu's party came into being and she became the prime minister, right? So basically in the past two or three years, these practices came back into Moldova, orchestrated by people who were in opposition back then, and now they're in power and they are doing exactly the same thing. And also, I think it's important to note the number of people who were prevented from running into these elections. Political opponents of Maia Sandu, like Irina Vlah, the former governor of Gagauzia. Right, so I think this is also very important to understand when we talk about the last 4 years of PAS leadership in parliament. A thing that I think it will continue, it will only deepen in the next 4 years, with the added pressure, of course, that the geopolitical discourse and competition will get even tougher in the next weeks and months and so on and so forth. So I think the logic will be the same.
Kdo točno je bil pred volitvami targetiran strani koalicijskih proevropskih sil, pojasni po Enaru.
The most important name is Irina Vlah. She was the governor of Gagauzia, which is this autonomous region within within Moldova. She was a very outspoken critic of Maia Sandu. As for the TV channels, I think I don't know if the names even make sense, but usually they were TV stations critical to the regime, sometimes financed by local businessmen, but also politicians who are again constituting the opposition to Maia Sandu and the regime of PAS. Of course, in most of these cases, the justification was the Russian threat and all these people are Russian agents and so on and so forth, right? So we know this kind of justification not only from Moldova, but from Ukraine, from Romania as well. It's a thing that it's acceptable nowadays in this country. So yeah, it was part of this 4 years of Maia Sandu and her party in power to reintroduce censorship.
Kljub na videz tipični stanci proevropskosti je Moldavija v primerjavi z nekaterimi drugimi nekdanjimi sovjetskimi državami do določenih aspektov Zahoda bolj zadržana. Spomnimo, da je v Moldaviji lanskega oktobra potekal referendum za spremembo ustave, na katerem so državljani izglasovali opredelitev naroda kot evropskega in si za cilj opredelili pridružitev Evropski uniji. Referendum je podoben referendumskima glasovanjima v Gruziji in Ukrajini, a za razliko od njih ni vključeval vprašanje o pridružitvi NATO. Kaj nepribliževanje Zahodni imperialistični zvezi pove o Moldaviji, komentira sogovorec.
She was basically a politician that held the values of neutrality. Right, this is why I'm saying that we need reminding, because nowadays it seems unthinkable that at the beginning she completely stood away from this geopolitical angle. Right, she didn't want to choose between EU and Russia or NATO or not NATO. She was completely presenting herself as a neutral politician. She even, and I was like completely amazed, even she was like delivering these messages, presidential messages in three languages, right? Romanian, Moldovan, Russian, and the Turkish Bulgarian language that they speak in Gagauzia. So she wanted to avoid all sorts of conflict. And then, of course, Ukraine happens, the invasion of Russia in Ukraine happens, and she's forced by European partners and the American partners to take a position, a very strong pro-EU, pro-Ukraine, anti-Russian position. Right? So I think it was something that it was imposed by the current events on her. And I think the lack of speaking about NATO, I think it's a reminiscence, it's a reminder of that initial stance. And I think she also knows very well that if such a referendum would be put to vote in Moldova, it will fail. Most of the Moldovans want to have this kind of neutral position, especially on military terms, right? They also want to have a neutral position also when it comes to, I think, the economy. Let's not forget that the country itself is very split between people who are looking towards the West and migrating towards the West. It's about 1.5 million people, maybe less, 1.3. But you also have about 500 to 600,000 people migrating for work in Russia. Right, so the society itself is very split when it comes to these issues.
Moldavska politika ostaja ujeta v geopolitični kontekst. Tako koalicijska kot glavna opozicijska stranka po parlamentarnih volitvah ostajata na svojih položajih in nadaljujeta s svojim nasprotovanjem druga drugi glede proevropskosti in proruskosti. Seveda vse med hudo ekonomsko in socialno krizo v državi. Offset je pripravila Neva.